lot. They assume you're an introvert. Sometimes they just forget you're there. But there are also perks of being quiet. First off, you say fewer stupid things.
That color goes great with your skin.
And what does my skin normally look like?
No, I just was saying because the...
Yeah. Rude.
The color looks really nice on you, Daisha.
Thank you!
People think of you as being a good listener.
It's stressful and I know it's gonna work out. Anyway, thank you so much. Nobody listens as well as you do.
You're welcome. Everyone thinks you're mysterious. You can sneak out of situations you don't want to be in.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
What is this
shirt?
I don't have no idea.
And when you laugh, people take it as a sign that something's really funny, because you rarely do. People are blown away when you say something sassy. Hey, Liz, I mean, did you steal this from Coolio's tour bus? Finally, when you do talk, everyone takes you super seriously.
And a good pie.
What we should actually do is have mini pies and cupcakes.
I didn't even think of that. You're like a genius.
People seem to think being
so
quiet.
So try it out.
Thing.
A quiet strategy.
Talk over you a lot.
I think you'll see it'll pay off. So that's what the BuzzFeed viral video says. Let's see what God's word says about a quiet strategy to life. 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to start in verse 38 and 39. All right, so let's read it out loud together. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." So I call this little section of scripture the barbecue showdown, and it is what I would say one of the most powerful ministry assignments that ever was recorded in the Bible. So Elijah was challenged by the 450 prophets of Baal to a barbecue showdown, challenged him to see who is the true God, their God or his God, the God that we serve. And God came down in this passage in a consuming fire in dramatic fashion, proving that he was the true God. And if there ever was a high point of someone's ministry, it was this moment. If there ever was a bright future ahead, it was this moment for Elijah. And it makes me think of the various new opportunities for us, the various victories that we've had in our lives, the new season that lays ahead for us, some of us personally, but the new season that lays ahead for our church. And as these new seasons lay ahead, let's see what happens for Elijah. All right, so let's turn over to the next chapter. We'll read verses 1 and 2. 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 and 2. Let's read it together. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." The enemy was not happy that a bright future lay ahead for Elijah, that there was a new season or new opportunities. And literally, the enemy here set out to kill Elijah. It also makes me think of the new opportunities that lay ahead for us, the new seasons, the new things that God's doing, the new ministry assignments, the new careers, the new families. The enemy is not happy about that either. And we don't need to be scared of it, but we definitely need to be aware that the enemy comes in and wants to attack us and knock us down. And let's see the response of Elijah to this attack of the enemy as Jezebel set in to literally kill him. Let's read verse 4. Let's read it together. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord." Elijah's response to the attack, he just experienced, one of the most powerful ministry assignments in the Bible. Great victory. The enemy attacked, and Elijah said, "I have had enough. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at my wit's end." And I look out at you guys today because I know some of the situations. And some of us, literally, I've literally sat with some of you that it's like, I have had enough. I'm at my rope's end. I'm at my wit's end. And at this point in Elijah's situation, God stepped in and God began to give a strategy to Elijah. Some of you in the situations that you're in, you've had enough. You're at your wit's end, and God says, let me step in and let me give some strategy, a new strategy. Let's take a look, verses 11 through 12. This is the new strategy that that God gives Elijah. God also gives us. Let's read it together. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. So there was a powerful wind, an earthquake, and a fire. And this passage notes, God's word notes, that the Lord was not in those spectacular events. So it's interesting for me because I have literally personally experienced all three of these spectacular phenomena. So growing up on the East Coast, I've been in a powerful wind, literally in a hurricane. When I moved out to California, I could literally remember the day. September 2001 was my first earthquake. And I have a vivid memory in 10th grade of the Edison Inferno. My parents remember that literally was national news. Edison, New Jersey is where I grew up. In 10th grade, there was a gas line that exploded and just lit up literally the whole city. It made national news, and people were calling us from all over the country to see if we were okay. It literally shut down the school for like a week. It was crazy. And I'll say for all these personal experiences, of all these phenomena, I literally experienced the presence of God or the power of God through these powerful, spectacular phenomena. And God says that too in his word, right? The Holy Spirit is described as a powerful wind, the day of Pentecost, right? The earth shook. There was an earthquake when Jesus died, right? Literally, God is described in the Bible as a consuming fire. So God wasn't saying in this passage that he is not in those spectacular, huge ways, those worship experiences that we have, the retreat experiences that we have, those watershed moments in our lives where we know that God's power is there. God's certainly in all of those. But God's saying in this passage, he's not just in those spectacular moments. He's also in the scaled back, dialed down, quiet moments where he can. And maybe where he only can speak to us in the gentle whisper. The reason why I bring us to this passage today is because of a journey that God has brought me on in the last couple of years, but especially the last couple of months. So some of you know that I have some mentors in my life. God's really blessed me to have some 60-year-old men in my life these days. It's pretty crazy. I just turned 41 this past week, and God surrounded me with 60-year-old men, which has been a great blessing. And so there's been three especially that have really exhorted me. It's not further than just encouraged me, but really exhorted me that I really needed to scale back and get into the quiet place. So some of you guys know these people, like Bill Ferris, who was here a couple of weeks ago, Steve Summerall, another guy that some of you guys went on a retreat with him recently, Rick Coffin, our missionary to India that we support in our church, really encouraged me that four times a year, I needed to go away on a silent retreat, like just be quiet for like a day or two so that I could hear God's voice. And I live in the same world that you guys do, right? And so this was something a little bit foreign to me. You know, I'm used to the go, 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 deadlines, get things done, get to the next thing, get to the next project, et cetera. So this was a challenge for me to literally try to build it into my life four times a year, go off a day or two for a silent retreat. But what ended up happening was that I felt like God gave me this image. And this image was of Jesus. And this was really in my mind's eye. And Jesus, you know, sometimes I see Jesus and he's dressed in different things. In this particular time, he was dressed in complete white. And it was him, he was just saying, come. And Steve Summerall had told me about this place, Mater Della Rosa, in the Sierra Madre Mountains, this Catholic retreat center, and he had told me to go there for the silent retreat. And I'd never been there, but in this image that I had of Jesus, I knew that Jesus was standing there, and he was just in all white, and he was just beckoning me to come. But I, you know, everything of the go, 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 get things done, deadlines, et cetera, you know, was part of me. And so I was kind of just putting that off and not really wanting to do it. But then, you know, I did sign up for that, you know, for a few days over there. And then this was in early March. And so March 5th was the day that I was signed up to go. And I remember it was forecasted to rain on March 5th. And so I remember talking to God, and I know the exact spot that I was driving. If you're familiar, in Hacienda Heights, I was driving on Hacienda Boulevard and Tetley Street, right in that corner, right in that intersection. And I was saying to God, God, I first of all, I'm busy, but also I don't really want to go if it's raining. And this is what I felt like that the Lord said to me. I felt like he said, well, was it raining in that image? And I was like, no, it's not. It wasn't raining in that image, you know, that image of Jesus beckoning me to come. And then I felt like Jesus said, well, then it's not going to be raining. And so March 5th came. It was forecasted to rain. And I drove up to the Sierra Madre Mountains. I'd never been to this place, Mater Della Rosa. I drove up there, and I couldn't believe it. At the entrance, there was a statue of Jesus that looked exactly like the image that I had in that vision. And it was bright sunshine at that moment on March 5th as I drove up. And God spoke to me in a gentle whisper in the next day and a half. And I could share that portion at another time, but I want to share with you the reason why I'm sharing this with us, because I felt like I wasn't just going for me. I felt like I was going for us. Because I feel like that in our culture, the American culture, some of us, the Asian American culture, the church culture, is like this go, go, go. We got to get things done. We got to, you know, put forth this effort. And I wanted to say, for our church, I give us an A++++ for effort and getting things done and getting involved and pushing forward. But God's been speaking to me about a scaled back, quiet strategy, allowing and giving God the opportunity to speak to us in the gentle whisper. Let me share with you a quote in a book that's really been transformative for me. It's a book called Every Breath We Take by Terry Wardle. Here's a quote. People want to do for Jesus, which quite frankly is a whole lot easier than trying to be with Jesus. It's great to do for Jesus. It's important that we do for Jesus. But we're not human doings, right? We're human beings. And God wants us to be with him, to be present with him, so that he could speak to us in the gentle whisper. You saw in the video the perks of a quiet strategy of life. Look in this passage of the perk of a quiet strategy, getting into the quiet place so God's gentle whisper could speak to us. Verses 15 to 17. Let's read it out loud together. Here's the perk of the quiet strategy of life. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Eliashab, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. The quiet strategy in the gentle whisper. And God spoke to Elijah the strategy forward to escape his enemies in the gentle whisper. For some of us this morning, God is beckoning us to get into the quiet place, to scale it down, to dial it down, to quiet it down, so that we could hear the gentle whisper of God, so that he could whisper to us the strategy of how to overcome some enemies that are seeking to attack us in our lives, in our new seasons. So the question that you might ask is, you know, how are we going to quiet things down? How are we going to engage this quiet strategy. And of course, there's a million, bazillion ways for us to have a quiet time. And I won't go all into all of the details of it this morning for the sake of time, but I just wanted to share with you or resource you with one thing that's been really helpful to me in the last couple of years. So there's this book by a Vineyard pastor from Oklahoma called Prayer as a Place. He's a Vineyard pastor named Charles Bellow. You might remember that at the beginning of the year, we had a five-week devotional on Sunday morning, on Saturday morning, and this was the book that I really brought a lot of it out of. And so I wanted to resource this with you. So if you're the first person to come up to me after service, I'm going to give this to you for free. But also, I have a list here, a sign-up sheet right here for the next 10 people. If you sign up here, I'm going to get you one for free, too, in the next couple of weeks. All right, so I just want to give this as help, just as one resource. Like I said, there's a million ways for us to scale it back and get into the quiet place. But this is just one resource that would be able to help us. As we close out, I wanted to share one more thing. When God gave me that image of Jesus dressed in white and he's beckoning me to come to the quiet place, Mater Dolorosa, I felt like that image wasn't for me, just for me. I felt like that was an image for our next season, and it was for the church. And God celebrates with us of like the do, the press forward, the effort of this church, he loves that. That pleases his heart. But I felt like that Jesus is also beckoning us to come, to dial it down and get quiet with him so that we could hear his whisper, because he's going to whisper us the strategies of overcoming our enemies. So this morning, as we close, we're just going to close in a real different way. We're going to worship to one song that I think is a reflection, this definitely a reflection of this call to a quiet strategy. And then we're going to literally just spend 4 minutes in quiet. And I think it's going to seem like a long time to some of you, but we're just going to dial it down and quiet down. And I think God's going to speak some real strategic key things to us. And of course, it's not just for this morning, but this is God's call to us, I believe, in this season moving forward. Okay, let's pray together, and the worship team, if you can come forward at this time too. So Lord, we just respond to your word, and we just pray that in this time that you would just help us to dial it down and get into the quiet place.